Hi, what's going on? Clinton, have you watched much of the Olympics?
I have watched quite a bit of the Olympics. I wouldn't say I've watched a lot of the Olympics.
I have watched a lot. I've been trying to dodge stories so that I can watch them and see. Like, I didn't want to know who won the 100 meters last night, so I got to watch it live, and I know it happened earlier in the day. Overnight, the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team was beaten by Canada. So they will not. I guess they still play for the bronze, don't they?
They play for the bronze on Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, so disappointing for them. But the Olympics, I think, have been fun, although I can't figure out what's on what channel at any given time.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm 40 years old now. I've been watching sports my whole life. I'm a pretty good navigator of systems and all that kind of stuff. There are people that are better at it than I. And after all this 2021 stuff and all this, I was like, you know what? This is not getting my mental energy. If I turn on my TV and I see something cool I want to watch, I'll watch it. But I'm not jumping around the dial. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not going to USA Network.
I'm just
Peacock.
I can't do it.
I can't do that either.
It's a lot of work. And I realized why they're trying to monetize it that way. But, like, for me, at this stage of my sports watching career, I'm like, bro, you're not going to catch me going, jumping through hoops, you know, or rings, if you will, you know.
Sign me up for some Channel 4. Channel 4 is easy. Just watch the NBC feed. I assume I'll see all the important stuff on NBC.
Right, that's kind of where I'm at with it. And I know that's a little lazy because I do love a lot of side sports. And if I'm up in the middle of the night, I will turn them on. But for the most part, this has not gotten a lot of my brain energy because it's just too much.
Speaking of side sports, you know, horse dancing is my favorite side sport at the Olympics. It's horse dancing. They call it dressage. And they put on a piece of music, and then the horse – does the exact dance steps to to the music. I tweeted out a link to the winner, the U.S. horse that won, and it was all club music. It was like Dua Lipa, and it was like Flo Rida, and it was like this horse was just like totally going at it. I find that so impressive. But I mean, I'm not sure that that's really sport, making your horse dance.
I don't know where or what it comes from, and I do not care, okay? Because if we get to see these horses dancing to Flo Rida more, like, sign me up. You know what I mean? Like, I remember the first time I saw that, I thought it was fake because I assumed the music was always going to be some old Victorian nonsense. You know what I mean? But, like, no, they're out here jumping around the club bangers.
No,
like,
man.
I was very, very impressed.
Us Mexicans do it all the time, man. They're called jaripeos. And then there's music, the Mexican music, and then the horses dance to that Mexican music. I'll send you guys a video.
Send a video.
Yeah. We've done it all the time.
Where does that go on?
No, there's not an event. It's one of those live events. It's never been televised like this, but I'm surprised you guys are making it a big deal like that. But it's not. Mexicans, listen.
That's awesome.
I'm
looking for it.
I'll send you guys a video.
It's pretty cool stuff. Send a video. All right, so we could use the psychic about now because free agency is going to open at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and the Lakers have got holes to fill, needless to say. We'll find out what happens to Alex Caruso. May take a couple of days to figure out what happens with THT. Talen Horton-Tucker is a restricted free agent, so he can get an offer as soon as 3 o'clock this afternoon. The Lakers would then have an opportunity to match that, and whether they match that I think would be interesting. I think he was just starting to play under control this last year. I mean, he's like a freight train when he's playing. Oh, something exploded? Is that what that was?
No, that's the cannon that I found. I found the
cannon?
Yeah, that's the cannon.
There was a signing?
That's it. No, but I'm just showing you what I have.
Okay. Well,
so there is no signing. You confused me. There is no signing.
No signing. It's just a preview.
We're working
just
this
a
thing
preview.
Out live on
yeah.
it.
Got
all
it. All right. So THT, what do you think of THT, Clinton?
I think he's a relatively decent player. I mean, just in regards of, like, I'm not going crazy to keep him. I think he's a guy where if you still had – I mean, listen, you still have your core of your team in regards to the three that we just referred to. But, like, if you still had 7 or 8 guys that you knew, then you keep a THT. I don't necessarily know if in this particular makeup of guys he's going to be the person you want. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. I just think that – also, he might want a slightly different opportunity. I don't know. Maybe not. He seemed like a guy that he figured out why he's in the NBA towards the end of the season. You know what I mean? And that's what the development we're looking for is.
So yesterday was National Psychic Day. And, I guess you either believe or you don't believe. Do you believe, Clinton?
I mean, I guess what I believe is that, like – and not to get sort of too far into this, but like I believe in some level of the paranormal in terms of how it interacts with our human life. Do I really necessarily know what that is? Not really. But, like, there's a small part of me that, yeah, frankly, due to things like Star Wars, kind of believes in the sort of existential humanism of, like, the Force. You know what I mean? Like, if you do good things and you try to do good stuff and maybe you can foresee certain – you know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of in more of that space. I'm not really in the palm reading telling me I'm going to win the lottery space kind of thing, you know?
But so that's you know, you make an interesting point. That's a great way to describe it because I have very much the similar view is that there is something called the Force. Right? Yeah. And it encompasses everything. And here we go. And some people are able to tap into the Force and some people aren't. And the people that do are psychics and they open storefront shops in crowded neighborhoods and they offer their services to people. I guess that's the way it works. It's always like a neighbor, like there's one right across from Staples Center. There's one like right next to the car wash. There's just a little house sitting there,
right?
With a psychic. Now I know two psychics. I know one who is actually, is the wife of a former coworker, and she's very, very gifted person. I genuinely believe she's got talent. I don't know if it's like if she's going to give me the lotto numbers for tomorrow.
Right.
But she's genuinely gifted and very humanistic in that approach. The other one,
go ahead.
The other one's a pet psychic, and I think that's total garbage. Huh.
I see. I do too. And here's the other thing that this is what I was going to say, but I didn't mean to step on it. But the problem is that most people in the paranormal / psychic world are just a little too weird for me. Like, listen, I love a lot of people, but like the whole way that the industry is kind of marketed and like just kind of. I don't even know how to describe it. Like the footprint of sort of the psychic paranormal world doesn't have to be as like mystically oddball as it is. You know what I'm saying? Like
right,
I think a lot of people would actually relate to a lot of the sort of real life things and mechanisms for thinking that a lot of these people use if the people weren't so daggone weird. You know what I'm saying? And like trying to act like they're living on another planet. You know what I'm saying? Like
it's a
big part of it for me.
Yeah. John Ireland is on the line right now. John, I brought him on for a very specific reason, and it is not to talk about the Lakers. It's not to talk about Russell Westbrook. John, what are you doing, man?
I am driving to see my mom in Corona Del Mar.
Okay.
Nice.
So we got a DM, both Lindsay and I got a DM on Twitter over the weekend, showing your mom's name on the scoreboard at Angel Stadium. Describe how that came to. I mean, I'm assuming it's your mom because I don't know any other Myrna Irelands.
Right. She wanted to go. She watches every Angel game. She's a diehard Angels fan, and her friend Dee, who's about her age, wanted to go to one game. So that's the game they picked. And I told that story to John Carpino, the president of the Angels. And he got a big kick out of it, so he put their names on the scoreboard to welcome them to Angel Stadium.
That must have been a thrill and a half.
Now, Mace, you got to send me that picture because here's the funny thing.
Yep.
She took a picture when Dee's name was on the screen, was on the scoreboard, but she couldn't figure out how to get, she was sending that picture to Dee. And then her name came up, and she missed it. So she thinks she missed it and has no evidence of it. But if you've got a picture of it, send it to me, and it'll be a big surprise because she thinks she screwed up and missed it.
She was definitely there. She was definitely on the board, and I think Lindsay and I both have pictures of it. It must have been a thrill to have Myrna at the game and have her name pop up on the screen. Did she get to see Shohei Ohtani do anything cool?
He had one hit. It was kind of a dud of a game. They lost to the A's 2-0. Ohtani went 1-for-4, but they had great seats. They had a great time. They watched both of them together watch every Angel game, despite the fact that I'm a Dodger fan. She will not come off of the Angels. That's her team. Even though they are, what are they now, 8 games out of the playoffs, she doesn't care. She's convinced they're going to win every night. I keep trying to explain they don't have any pitching. She doesn't care. She is blindly thinks the Angels are going to win every game. So that is the one game she's been to in the last 4 years. That's the first time she's been since long before the pandemic.
Awesome. Nice. Well, awesome. Well, that's
they're wearing
that's
those cool
really
uniforms.
Cool.
They're wearing those cool uniforms. Did you see those, Mace? This last series, they were the ones back to the old California Angels look, which
no.
was the best look that franchise has ever had. Yeah, like the A with the halo on it, like the old one, the yellow one, you know? It's really
yes.
cool. They did that
yes.
this weekend.
John, we had a chance to talk about the Scherzer trade, but give me your take on where we are with the Dodgers. Bueller, Kershaw, Scherzer, Urias as a starting rotation in the postseason.
Love it. Matter of fact, I think now they're going to come back and win the division. I think they're too good not to. And I can't wait to see Scherzer pitch against the Astros on Wednesday night. Just because, I mean, every Dodger fan wants to stick it to the Astros. Clinton, what I'm wondering is, as a guy from D.C., do you feel like the city of Los Angeles went into your town and just raided it in the middle of the night and took all of your biggest stars?
Mace asked me about this before, and no, I don't. I think that the Nats fan base has moved on from that 2019 pretty healthily, looking forward to what can be, because it was just a dream come true, you know? I mean, Scherzer was a guy who, look, he said it himself. When he got to D.C., he had no kids. When he left, he had 3 kids and a ring. Nobody's ever going to forget that. Like, that experience that time, I think, is something cool. And I think a lot of Nats fans, in fact, as weird as it is, are happy to see him and Trey go to a situation where they can still win and not just be at their salaries offloaded because, then you know, the owner's a bum or whatever. As for the Wizards, whatever. Russell Westbrook was there for a cup of coffee. So I think everything is fine. I'm glad those guys are in good situations.
Let me ask you guys this. When Trey Turner is healthy, what do you do with Cody Bellinger?
Well, I think you got a couple options. You can put Trey Turner in center field, or you can play him at second base. Bellinger, it's going to depend on how he's hitting, and right now he looks awful. I almost think they should find an excuse to put him on the injured list and let him go rehab his swing at AAA for a little while, because he just does not look right.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, the problem if you
go ahead.
Yeah, the problem if you do that, Mace, if you play Turner at second and leave Cody in center, you're taking either Pollock or Chris Taylor out of the lineup, and they've both been unbelievable. I don't think you can take those guys out. And so now you got a guy that's a rookie of the year and an MVP, who in any other scenario you would let work through this. But I think his opportunity to work through it is now gone as soon as Turner gets back, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you may be right. I mean, I'm looking at it. You could play Taylor in left or Pollock in left. You're right. It's either Taylor or Pollock would be the odd man out in a world
Pollock
where
– Pollock is the odd man out there for me. Pollock
is hitting, man.
Go ahead.
He was the player of the month. Clinton in July.
I understand that, but the season is multiple months. The season is multiple months. I'm not saying that he deserves it. I'm just saying that, like, if I'm looking at the longer – it's a great problem to have. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking Pollock. I'm just saying that, like, I think that when the wash comes out, if you will, the two players – if you had to have two players – or in a three-person situation, I think Taylor and Trey are going to do you better than Pollock and Trey or whatever the other combination is. That's just me. I don't want this to look like I'm out here bashing them. I feel like Trey brings – the thing about Trey, too, is that Trey has a lot of room to improve his game as well. I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. They look at him as just a fast guy who's won a ring. He can improve as a baseball player. He can improve as a base runner as well, even though he's got all this speed. So I think there's some room for growth with Trey that a lot of Dodgers fans need to get ready for.
All right. Hey, John, you can come back on Friday?
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. Lots to talk about on Friday.
Absolutely. All right, cool. Look forward to it. Have a good week, man.
All right, see ya.
Thanks. See ya. John Ireland. Yeah, Myrna's name on the scoreboard. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love doing stuff like that. When my dad was alive, I used to do stuff like that. I remember getting him down on the field for a Trojans game. He was so excited on the sidelines for that. I remember just 2 years ago, I've got my mom down on the field for a Rams game, and she was thrilled. A lot of ways, you know, we're really incredibly blessed by what we get to do, and I've always found that one way to keep it like all fresh for me is to see it through my parents' eyes and to see their sort of wonder that they have over things that maybe I've become inured to or I don't get anymore. Because you and I have been to games, we've been sidelines, we've been all that place. But at the same time, I think we forget sometimes how cool it is.
It is cool. And I remember when we were at the Denver, I went to Denver this year for the All-Star game for Major League Baseball. And I remember kind of thinking, like, everybody had kind of forgotten that, like, we just didn't do that the year before. So, like, none of these humans saw each other. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just the gathering of the people. It was, like, the specific individuals, the crew people you forget about, the people who work around the game whose faces you know. And maybe you don't know their name all the time, but you know you've seen them and all these kind of things. Like, as jaded as I might have been by simply professionalism of doing it my job, coming back after the pandemic has made this all very, very exciting for me again, and I love that.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, I'm going to throw this out there. If you're a psychic, 877-710-ESPN. I want to talk to an actual psychic. Somebody's out there is a psychic. 877-710-ESPN. What shooters are the Lakers going to sign when free agency opens this afternoon? Just generally speaking, how are you feeling about the Lakers and Rob Pelinka moving into this critical period? You know we got Russell Westbrook, so we know we got a big three. We've got LeBron, AD, Russell Westbrook. Alex Caruso, Ramona Shelburne has said, unlikely to return. I think she said, how did she phrase it, Clinton? I don't want to take her out of context. I think she just said we're not getting him. We're not getting him back. THT, restricted free agent, how important is that? And who's got a better super team, Brooklyn or us? 877-710-ESPN. Mesa in Ireland, this is 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, what's going on? It's Monday, not just any Monday. It's the Monday when free agency opens in the NBA. All kinds of stuff likely to be going down in about 42 minutes. I'm bad at math. Does it look like 42 minutes to you, Clinton?
Yes, that is correct. 42 right. minutes, sir.
Good. Clinton Yates is in for John. He's good at math. I'm terrible at math. These guys can attest to the fact that math is definitely not my strong suit. Would you say, Jorge? No, it's not.
You're banned. From any math whatsoever.
Banned from math. And for life.
My math is good in like 60-minute spurts. Like after working in radio for so long, like I can do like clock math. That's about all the math I'm really good at.
You know, somehow I got through, and this is true of Ireland too. I got through Bowling Green State University, the Harvard of Northwest Ohio. I got through Bowling Green State University without taking a math class. Does that seem right to you?
Wow. Did you test out of it?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt there.
Liberal arts major with no math classes.
Yeah. Math, look, not, you know, once again, not to get too far into this, but like math to me, what the math that should be taught in schools is not trigonometry, in my opinion. You should be teaching people how to do their taxes and how to start a bank account. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the stuff that people need to learn how to do so that when they come up against these adult situations, like, I don't know, health insurance bills, you know what I'm saying? And they're, you know, navigating all this nonsense for forms and all that. Like, don't even get me started about the sort of the inartful democracy that is bureaucratic nonsense in this country. Like, we should be teaching people how to live their lives better, not just how to do random, you know, equations on the
find the angle.
Yeah, like that's
yeah, exactly.
We got professionals
trigonometry,
for that.
Physics. I've tried to understand. I can't understand physics at all. I've tried, and chances, and I skipped a lot of steps on the way, but I've tried to understand physics. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. So I wanted to bring this up. My very good friend of mine is a huge Dodger fan. And, you know, sometimes, like, for example, Friday night, I get a text from him, and it's, ugh, Kenley Jansen. Ugh, Kenley Jansen. And Jansen, in a 6-5 ball game, one that we lost 6-5, Kenley Jansen actually loaded up the bases late in that game. And that's one thing that the Dodgers did not address at the trade deadline. Yes, we added Scherzer. Yes, we added Trey Turner, one of the bright young players in the league. We did not make any we added Danny Duffy to the bullpen, a lefty.
He's hurt,
kind of
though,
a situational lefty. He's hurt right now, but conceivably could play a key role down the – but ugh, Kenley Jansen. I still believe most people feel that way when Kenley Jansen comes into a game.
You know, it's unfortunate, and this is something that Bergman talks about all the time, Greg. He just says he just doesn't trust him, you know. And ultimately, I think when you're a high-leverage guy – that's really all that matters, at least in terms of how you approach any particular situation from a matchup standpoint. And, like, look, I get it. Kenley's a veteran, and Doc trusts him a lot. But, like, at some point, this moves from beyond just a, well, will Kenley figure it out situation to, well, we got actual games in the loss column to make up here, so, like, we might want to make a change. About a week ago, I sort of looked at it and said, obviously Kenley's going to throw again. But this is not trending very well. And I think what we're going to end up seeing by the end of the season, Mace, it's not going to be him in the closer role, especially not in the playoffs, because people just don't trust him. Or rather, you know, I don't think that he can be trusted enough in order for a high-leverage situation to work itself out just because he's Kenley Jansen. You're going to have to start taking a real hard look at whether or not you're giving yourself a competitive disadvantage by throwing him out there just because he's been the guy for so long.
Well, postseason is a different look, obviously. It was a different look last year. Kenley had a tremendous September. He was actually reliever of the month in the month of September last year, and then just fell apart when he got to the postseason. And I'll say this for Kenley, a little reporter fact. Nobody in the history of the game has blown more saves in the World Series than Kenley Jansen. Hmm. He holds that terrible, awful distinction.
That's an unfortunate distinction.
Isn't that terrible?
Wow.
But I still – I am a Kenley believer. I am a Kenley supporter. I believe that he's going to play a pivotal role down the stretch for this team. I said it at the beginning of the year, I thought he'd finish with 35 saves. I think he's at 23 right now. Had two. Granted, the Friday performance was rocky, but he looked fine in these other performances this weekend. I still believe Kenley Jansen is the right guy for that role, and I know I may be one of the last living survivors on Kenley Island.
I mean, the question is, though, is this Dodgers team going to be able to win a championship with him performing erratically? And I don't think the answer to that is yes. So, like, to me, you're not going to be able to just hide him. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to use him, and he's going to have to improve. I don't think there's anything wrong with that being sort of the standard of operation in terms of what the level of play needs to be in order to win. That guy's one of the most important parts of your bullpen. He's going to have to perform in order for this team to win the World Series, okay? They're a good roster. They're a loaded roster. But right now, they're not even in first place in their own division. So, like, you know, obviously there's some things that can improve on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at Kenley, he's got 22 saves now. He had that really bad week where he blew three saves. Three of his saves were blown in 1 week. He's got six blown saves overall. He's still, you know, the numbers still look good on Kenley. I mean, Kenley, he's got, a .134 ERA and a .7 and a .134 ERA. Mm-hmm. You know what? You'll take that.
Yeah.
You'll take that. And I still believe, and he does work his way out of jams, I still believe that he is the guy for that role. And I do believe that they didn't make a trade for another closer, because they could have. Craig Kimbrell was out there, was because they didn't want Kenley to go south emotionally. I don't believe Kenley's good anytime except in a save situation. Like, I would only use Kenley in a save situation. I wouldn't
set up Urias?
No, wouldn't have him set up Urias. No, I wouldn't. I think he's best as a closer because he gets that jolt of energy coming into a game. Hey, real quick, I wanted to get to this call. Solomon in Lake Balboa. Solomon, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Oh, hey, guys. I wanted to comment on that psychic thing for a moment, if you don't mind. I have two things to say. Number one, I'm kind of psychic. I don't know how I do it, but I'm in sales and I'll just have a thought about showing up at a certain customer I haven't seen for a while. I'll pop in and their mouth will drop. They'll put the phone, they just put the phone down and says, I just called you.
Wow.
I said, I must have got it. I must have got it. I didn't get it in the physical universe, but I heard you. Somehow, some way, I knew I had to stop by. So I think, and I think all people have this somewhat, because I don't believe there's accidents, you see? All this stuff that's a coincidence, on some level that's created, or people are just not in tune with it. Secondly, real quick about the pet psychic.
Yes.
This also blew my mind. I had my little doggy years ago, wasn't doing well. The only thing I told this woman was, he's got some stomach issues, you know, he's really distressed. The dog has its head on her lap. She's petting it, really getting in communication with my little doggy. All of a sudden she says, you know, I'm getting the picture that some evil little brat of a child used to squeeze this dog so it would yelp. They got a kick out of that. I said, oh, my God, I never told her this. I said, this dog will growl and bite little children like there's no tomorrow.
So she was able to learn that by just
holding. He was a stray. You know, he was a stray, so I didn't know. I didn't know that was his history.
All right. There is a successful pet psychic story.
Yeah, it was just amazing. So I had to share that with you guys.
All right. Hey, Solomon, thank you, man. Appreciate that. 877-710-ESPN. See, so my friend who does pet psychic work, is the kind of person that after your puppy dog dies or your cat dies, you go to the pet psychic, and they communicate to your late dog,
like a medium. Is that what they're called?
Like a medium to be able to connect to them, which
that's a different thing.
I think is just, if you believe in that, I think that's just crazy. Right? Isn't that
the level of disdain that you are trying to step around and be tactful about what you're saying is very impressive here.
Isn't that just a little nutty? Like, I'd like to talk to my dog Hollis, who died 10 years ago. Can you reach Hollis for me?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be laughing, but like the idea that like they've got these, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad you told me that, because I assumed that this person, your friend, was just the kind of person that was like more of a whisperer type.
Yeah.
Like you talk to living beings, and that, as weird as that is, that holds some level of sense to me, because like, you know, whatever, beings can communicate however they choose to communicate, but like getting into the afterlife and like the ancestral plane.
Mace, your dogs have voices. What would they tell you?
Oh, yeah, my dogs do have voices. My dogs have voices, Clinton. I don't know if you know this or not, but I have a
I've heard this, yes.
Her name is Sophie. Hi, this is Sophie. Hi. And I have Fredo. Hello. This is Fredo. How are you? And they have long conversations together.
I see.
The house
they talk
is,
to other dogs that voices. Are so...
Yeah. No.
Hello, Fredo. How are you? Did you eat my food this morning?
No, I did not eat your food. This is how they behave.
This is what they do, right?
Yeah, this is what they do. All right, 877-710-ESPN. Let's dig into this free agency. We're exactly 31 minutes away from free agency in the NBA. What does it mean? Does it mean we'll get an announcement this afternoon on who the Lakers have reached a tentative deal with? Remember, nothing becomes final until Friday, but the Russell Westbrook deal is done. Alex Caruso, is he gone? THT, what are they going to do? What shooters are out there? Is Carmelo Anthony coming? 877-710-ESPN. I wanted to make a correction. Jake corrects me, and he's right. His Kenley Jansen's whip is 1.34. His ERA is 2.90. As Jake points out, that is fine, but not great. Not great. And that's true. I still think if you take out a couple of bad performances, he's had an exceptional year, but people will disagree with me always over that. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, what's up? It's Free Agency Monday in the National Basketball Association. We are waiting for news. Free Agency opens in 27 minutes. The Lakers, Rob Pelinka's got work to do. We got us Russell Westbrook, but now we need to add some shooters that make sense. And one of those guys is Carmelo Anthony. And how do you feel about Carmelo Anthony, Clinton?
I feel that if he can accept a bench role and be Olympic mellow, which is what he does best, he can fit into this team. It could be a nice little button-up on the career of a guy who, you know, came into the league with a bang, has managed to stay around for a while, and a lot of people like tremendously.
I wanted to mention a couple other stories around the league. Mark Stein is reporting that the widespread belief is that Miami will do a sign-and-trade for Kyle Lowry. So Kyle Lowry, according to Mark Stein, likely to wind up in Miami, which is a nice get. A lot of people thought during the trade deadline this last year in the NBA that the Lakers might have had a chance to sign Kyle Lowry or to acquire Kyle Lowry, and that might have made a difference for that run. I actually think it would have made a difference for that run. The injuries were deadly, but Kyle Lowry could have helped. But Kyle Lowry likely headed to Miami, according to Mark Stein. Chris Paul has opted out of his deal with the Phoenix Suns. He is trying to, and the Phoenix Suns are trying to work out a longer-term deal to keep that band together. And Kawhi Leonard has opted out of his contract. Of course, he's had ACL surgery or knee surgery for a partially torn ACL. He's opted out and is expected to reconnect on a longer-term deal with the Clippers as well. Those are just kind of business moves.
I was going to say, those are kind of procedural. Like, we're not expecting any of those guys to go anywhere, are we?
No, I don't think so. The question is, do you think Dame Lillard goes anywhere?
Oh, we've been talking about that a lot in the past week in terms of, like, what should Portland do? And, I don't think this a lot of times, but I do think there are certain situations in which this is fair. Like, if I'm Portland, to me, if Dame wants to walk, you let him walk, man. The guy was a generational talent at your team. He, you know, brought something back to sort of Blazer Nation that I think hadn't been there in a long time. Obviously a great player in the NBA. Like, it does not behoove that franchise to be getting into a public fight with the best guy they've had in two decades. You know what I mean? And, like, while I understand that it's difficult to see a star walk away, like, I really hope this doesn't end messily for Portland and Dame, because I kind of thought they were both, I don't want to say above that, but they were getting along until all of a sudden it looked clear that it wasn't going to change, that nothing was going to change. And, like, I just don't want that to be one of those ones where Dame comes off looking like the bad guy because his franchise couldn't get it together.
Now, Dame has officially, despite reports of the contrary, not asked for a trade. He's not asked for a trade or demanded a trade. If I'm Portland, you know, here's what I don't understand. Like, for example, when the Aaron Rodgers thing came up, I said that if I was Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers was, you know, demanding a trade and I went out of here no matter what and I had him under contract, I was going to find a way to make him play this coming year. Yeah. I was not going to trade him. I wouldn't have, and before all the Deshaun Watson, the sexual allegations with the massage therapist, all that stuff, he had demanded a trade. If I was Houston, I wouldn't have traded him. I think if you've got Dame Lillard, the whole point is to go out and find a player like Dame Lillard. I'm not going to trade Dame Lillard. I'm going to try to collaborate with him and try to find the players that fit around him, because my whole job is then to go out and find another Dame Lillard.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is that in basketball, and particularly in 2021 in the NBA, this sort of sociological elements are just different. You know what I mean? Like, the way that players get treated in basketball, there's less players. Personality is a bigger percentage of what happens on your team in terms of each individual guy who's there. Football team, you got a million dudes. They kind of come and go, even though the ones that are really talented tend to lead the teams. And I mean – my point is that once it sours, Mace, for one guy with one team, it doesn't even matter if it's not a good reason. Like, it's hard to start after that. And that's what my concern is here with Portland, is that you're going to keep a guy who's not necessarily disgruntled, but definitely would take an out if given one that was a good one. And then you're going to sort of faux rebuild around him. Look, I know that the guys like Zach Collins have been injured forever, and they've kind of had some issues with that. But, like, I just think that there's something to be said for, like, hey, you know what? It was a great run. And this is sort of what I'm talking about, like what I was talking about in D.C. when, like, the Scherzers and the Trays of the world go. Like, all right, man. You know what I mean? You had a great run. Obviously, in the case of the Blazers, they didn't win anything. But that's also part of the reason why you're parting ways. Like, there's something to be said to me for what that experience could mean to Blazers fans. Is a reasonable goodbye to Dame, as opposed to just, no, you're playing here, and we're just going to bank on ourselves, especially if it doesn't work and it ends up ending acrimoniously.
And yet, at the same time, isn't it fair to look at Milwaukee and say, yeah, you know what? They were so close. They added Drew Holiday and a couple of key pieces, and they were able to win the title. Yeah. Isn't that the template that if I'm Neil O'Shea and if I'm the Portland Trailblazers, I'm looking at?
Yeah, but I think they're off schedule for that, is what I'm saying. You know, Giannis is at a different point of his career. He's a different type of a player in terms of how you build around him. He's not exactly the type of player that I think Lillard – it's just they are very similar sort of macro, Mace. I agree with you 100%. In terms of a game plan, that's what you want to do. But I don't think that the Blazers are on that same track as the Bucks were. They haven't gotten nearly as close, not remotely, you know.
All right, coming up next for you, got Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Clinton Yates is filling in for John today. And don't forget, we are 19 minutes away. Now there's my math wrong. We're 21 minutes away.
21 minutes away.
From the opening of free agency in the National Basketball Association. We're all over that. If something breaks during Radio Tinder, we will bring it to you. But Radio Tinder's coming up next. My favorite part of the show, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let me tell you about Valvoline Instant Oil Change. I was just there, in fact, before I made my vacation drive. Is your vehicle due for service? Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home with a 15-minute drive-through oil change. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to a dirty waiting room. No, at Valvoline, you stay in your car safe while the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, more. Just pull up, drive in, drive out. Less than 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Oh, and tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you are looking for the right follow, the follow you need, it is Lindsay on Instagram. It is at Lindsay Baseball. Everybody follow her. Lindsay, what do you got going on?
I'm glad you're so on board with following me on Instagram, man.
100% on board. Anything for you, Lindsay. Anything.
You weren't always. You weren't always. So I'm glad that you have.
I fought it for a while.
You've turned the tide. I appreciate it.
Yes.
All right. Well. Fans who have petitioned for LeVar Burton to be the latest guest host of Jeopardy aren't finished rallying for him, as they're hoping he might become the show's next permanent host. More than 250,000 people have signed the latest petition calling on Jeopardy to make Burton the next host, with new signatures continually being added. The petition argues that Burton has, quote, inspired and shaped the minds of several generations of trivia-loving nerds through his roles on Reading Rainbow, Roots, and Star Trek The Next Generation. Many say that Burton is the obvious natural fit to replace Alex Trebek as Jeopardy's permanent host. Do you guys agree? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right means I like it, right?
That is correct. Good
correct.
Job,
so, yeah, it's a huge swipe right. I mean, like, this is a complete no-brainer to me, in fact. Like, if they're almost at the point now where if they pick somebody else, it not only looks, like, weird, it just looks stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody likes LeVar Burton. End of story. The guy hosted Reading Rainbow. Take a look. It's in a book. You know what I mean? What are we doing? This has to be LeVar.
You know what? I am going to, with a great deal of politeness and respect, swipe left.
Wow.
I watched Jeopardy last week with LeVar Burton, and he didn't work for me in that venue. I understand people love LeVar Burton and all that stuff.
Right.
Didn't work for me. I thought of all the guest hosts, the very best one was Mayim Bialik. That would be my pick for host. Lindsay, what do you think? You're a LeVar
Burton
fan,
right?
Oh
yeah, totally. I mean, Mayim Bialik, also known for her role on what was that show? The
Big
Nerds?
Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory.
She's
and Blossom.
Is who
Blossom.
She is. Yeah.
Yep. She's Blossom.
And is an actual neuropsychologist.
Right. I think she was great, but I think LeVar Burton was born to do this job. And in fact, right. he's been championing for this job for like 15 years, like long
yes,
before
has.
Alex Trebek was gone. And I think he's in a way he's like been trying to prepare himself for it. So I think he's the best man for the job. That's just
all
my
right.
thoughts.
Yeah. Mace, I think he's the kind of guy that he might not blow you away week one, but after month two, it's a different show, and he's grown mm-hmm. into it in a different
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I think.
I am not a LeVar Burton hater. I think the guy's great.
Right.
I liked Mayim Bialik a little bit more. But if he gets the job, you know, good for him. I know he's been part of a lot of people's grown-up years, so totally get it. All right, Lindsay, what's next?
Rainbow. All right, a group of Olympic athletes were caught doing the unthinkable. They were drinking outside in the Olympic Village. This is a no-no in Tokyo as it breaks COVID protocol set in place. Athletes are allowed to drink alcohol at the Olympics, but they have to do so all alone by themselves in their own rooms. Sounds like if that's what you were choosing to do with your time, you might have a drinking problem, but that's neither here nor there. So the Olympic CEO Toshiro Muto held a news conference about the matter and even confirmed that police were called to the scene. The nationalities of the athletes that were caught weren't ever mentioned. Muto said, "We're looking into the matter. We will take appropriate steps based on our findings. This is just one of the few stories about the terrible time athletes are having at this year's Olympics." So that brings me to my question. If you guys were invited to compete at the Olympics, after hearing all these horror stories, if you want to call them that, would you even question it, considering all of the strict rules this year? Swipe left or swipe right?
I will swipe right. I would absolutely consider it. I think it would be – so I've gotten to broadcast 7 Olympics, and there's something unbelievably you become a citizen of the world when you're at the Olympics, and I think it is a really powerful idea to represent your country. The truth is, it hasn't been as bad as I thought it is. I mean, for a lot of athletes, you know, they've had a great experience. The drinking thing is weird. I think there's always been drinking at the Olympic Village, at least to my knowledge. So I don't know why they got all strict on that. But I would absolutely love to represent America. And I believe there is a sport that I could do it, which is shooting. As I've said before on the show, Clinton, when I was a young guy, a kid at Divine Word Camp in Maumee, Ohio, I was certified as a pro marksman with a rifle by the National Rifle Association, and I still have that little certificate to this day. It's not as fancy as it sounds. It's like the lowest level of certification.
I get it. but
I actually got to call shooting events at the 2004 Olympics and had a blast. I shot a lot of trap, a lot of skeet when I was growing up, a lot of target shooting. So that, and you can actually be a little older and compete in a shooting event.
Yeah.
What are you snorting at, Lindsay?
Get up to
you shot a lot of skeet and a lot of trap. That's just funny. What do you say that?
It just sounded funny. Here's what I'll say. I would love to represent the United States of America doing something, but this particular Olympiad is just not my steez. Like, I don't want to get off too far off on the depressing road, but like the outside argument that this Olympiad should not even be happening in terms of the people in Japan not even want it to happen, compounded with COVID, compounded with all sorts of other stuff. Like, this is part of the reason, Mace, while I'm also not really 100% in on watching every other event. It's just kind of like every time I look at it, I'm like, this looks a little weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, no crowds. It's a lot of stuff. So I would love to represent this country. I just don't think that Japan would be the games that I did it at. And I remember being like, you know, they asked us, like, you know, what would your consideration be if you were asked to go to Japan? And I said, I don't want to go. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like, during a pandemic. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't go.
I tried to go. I tried to go, but Westwood One decided they weren't going to do any radio coverage.
Right. Yeah. So.
But I would have been so there. So there.
It's a personal choice thing, but I think to me it's not about Japan. It's not about the Olympics. It's just like big global wild events right now are just not – I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me.
It's
the
very,
paranormal
very,
doesn't tell me good things yeah, about
it's
that.
Very, it's very, very tricky. I think they've handled it really well. And I think, like, for example, one of the events I wait for every year or every 4 years at the Olympics is the 100 meters. I thought both the men's and women's 100-meter races were, despite the fact that there wasn't a crowd, had exciting finishes. By the way, the woman who won represented Puerto Rico, although she is American. And it's because her mom lives in Puerto Rico, and the American who won the men's 100 meters was, he was an American, but was representing Italy. So technically two Americans won, but Puerto Rico and Italy are credited with those medals. But I thought, you know, for the showcase events of the game, I thought it looked great, and the lack of a crowd I'm sure was terrible for the athletes and not what they hoped for and not what they expected, but I think it came off, I think it's coming off pretty well.
Yeah, I'm not, it is not odious to me. It's just my level of interest knowing all of this has been deadened a lot. However, I will say this lastly on a great note, 3x3 is fantastic. Like, I watch 3x3 anyway, the basketball outside. Like, I'm a fan of that particular avenue of hoops, so I was familiar with it. My expectations were sky high, and they were met. Like, it was cool. They kept the vibe of how those tournaments go when they normally are played in other places and the different countries participate, and they just transferred it to the Olympics. They didn't make it goofy. They didn't mess it up. It was great. I loved that event.
Lindsay, you wouldn't go.
No, I wouldn't. I'm a big proponent of the whole idea that they should have postponed it at least until next year, because I don't think it's really like a true Olympics, because you've got issues with people not being able to compete because of COVID and travel issues, and your family's not able to be there. There's cases where people's coaches weren't even able to be there.
Yeah. Right.
I just think that they should have postponed it until next year. And while I am watching it because I'm a big fan of the Olympics, if I were an athlete, I would kind of go and out of like a protest, I would say I don't want to go because I don't think there should be one this year.
You know, the one thing I notice is, and Mike Tirico has been doing a great job as the anchor of the Olympics for NBC. The one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of these athletes, because it's only 3 more years until the next Summer Olympics, I think we're going to see again. It's 3 years instead of 4 years to wait.
Right.
So a lot of these athletes, like Katie Ledecky is going to swim again. Who's the guy that won 5 gold medals for us? I forget, the swimming guy.
I don't know his name, but I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, that
Caleb
guy.
Caleb something.
Yeah, that guy's coming
Caleb.
Back. I mean, a lot
He's
of people.
He's got the cool tattoos.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of those athletes we're going to see again in 3 years, so they will get a full Olympics experience. But, yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird one, but I would jump at the opportunity to be there.
Well, nice. Speaking of athletes that we may or may not see again at the Olympics, Simone Biles is going to give it one last try at these Olympics. USA Gymnastics announced that she will attempt to compete in Tuesday's balance beam final, which is the last event of the women's gymnastics meet. Is this the last we'll see of Simone Biles in the Olympics? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe right. I'm not going to lie. I kind of hope so, you know? Like, and I mean that in the sense of everything that particular – the generation of women who went through what they went through regarding Nasser – and us seeing how they're sort of coming out of their shells after how that's been. People like Kayla Maroney have been talking on Instagram about this. Like, I feel that the responsibility they're going to have in terms of what everybody's going to be expecting of them and just in terms of how they communicate and who they are as women, as themselves, after their gym careers end is going to be very, very important to America. And I feel like at this point, Simone Biles does not have anything to prove in terms of on balance beam or anywhere else. You know what I mean? She's going to be a leader in this country for the rest of her life, and I'm very interested to see what she does next.
Yeah, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. It would surprise me to see her fight all the way back. It really would. It's only 3 years, but she is. This has to have been, and you know, there've been criticism of her, and which I think is unbelievably unfair. You know, I think that this Olympics, and she's going to compete in the balance beam. She finished third there 4 years ago, or third in Rio. So it's not her strongest apparatus. I think that's going to be her farewell. I think that's going to be her farewell. And I think this Olympics will not go down as a moment of infamy. I think it will go down as a positive on her resume, if you will, a positive on her legacy, that he's that she's raised this much attention for mental health issues, I think is astounding. And, did you see any of the clips where in practice she was trying to do the vault and she was landing on her
back? She was
back?
Landing terribly. I mean, I think that just quickly, I know we're up against it, but, like, I think you're right here, Mace. I think that what they're going to see, we're going to see a revolution in just what people feel about gymnastics overall, never mind mental health in athletes. I mean, like, what do they call it, the spinsies or whatever it is? Like, the real-life impact of what it's like growing up as a gymnast. I mean, taking out sort of horrific non-medical assault practices aside from, you know, one particular guy in this case, you know, the entirety of the federation, like, gymnastics is really dangerous. You know what I mean? I think a lot more people have learned a lot about what actually happens in these shops coming on up from the youth level all the way on up. I think there's going to be a lot of reform in this sport. I think you can look at Simone Biles and say that she's a pioneer and speaking up on a lot of things, even though many people came before her.
Absolutely. All right, there you have it. There's your Radio Tinder. Thank you very much, Lindsay. We are 4 minutes away from free agency opening in the NBA. We will be all over all of it for you. Clinton Yates is in for John, 710 ESPN.